a man with more than 60 children and over 300 grandchildren, held a throne for 51 years. That is not a dynasty in decline. That is a dynasty at full force. The Bairo family of Kano is one of the most consequential ruling families in West African history, and their story begins long before any single emir sat on the throne. Abdali Bairo, born in 1881, ruled Kano from 1926 until his death in 1953. He governed through the height of British colonial power, navigating indirect rule with the careful precision of a man who understood that survival required both tradition and pragmatism. His son, Addo Bairo, would take that lesson and stretch it across half a century. Think of the Kano Emirate as a living institution, not a relic. It grew out of the political legacy of the 19th century Sokoto Caliphate. And by the 20th century, it had become the administrative backbone of Kano Province, under British colonial rule. The British system of indirect rule was not charity, it was strategy. Colonial administrators needed local authority figures who could collect taxes, maintain order, and translate imperial policy into local compliance. The Emir of Kano filled that role. Now, the key idea here is that this arrangement gave the emirate something valuable: institutional continuity. Even as the political ground shifted beneath them, the Bairo family remained central to Kano's governance. That continuity would prove critical when Nigeria moved toward independence. Abdurrahman, this is where the story of Addo Bairo becomes genuinely remarkable. He was born in Kano in 1930, the son of a reigning emir. His education was deliberate and layered. He studied the Quran at home first. Then, in 1937, he attended the school associated with the emir's palace at Kofar Kudu. He later attended Rumfa College and completed Arabic language training at the School for Arabic Studies. That combination, religious grounding plus formal academic training, was not accidental. It was preparation. But here is what separates Addo Bairo from a purely ceremonial prince. In 1947, he began working for the British Bank of West Africa. 2 years later, he joined the Kano Native Authority. In 1954, he was elected to represent Kano in the Northern House of Assembly. He later headed the Kano Native Authority Police. Before becoming emir, he even served as Nigeria's ambassador to Senegal. That is not the resume of a man waiting for a throne. That is the resume of a man building one. The Bairo name also carries deep geographic weight. The title of district head of Gwalni is among the senior traditional offices associated with the family, according to reporting from the Daily Post. Gwalni is not just an administrative district. It is a marker of identity, a place where the Bairo legacy is embedded in the social fabric of Kano. Remember, traditional rulers in Nigeria lost constitutional governing powers after independence. That is a fact. But the institution of the Kano Emir retained substantial social influence long after those formal powers were stripped away. For example, Adamo Bairo's accession in 1963, following the death of Emir Muhammad Inua, came at precisely the moment when Nigeria was redefining what traditional authority even meant in a modern republic. He stepped into that uncertainty and held the position for approximately 51 years, making him one of the longest-serving Fulani emirs in Kano's post-jihad history. That tenure was not passive. It was a sustained argument, made through presence and conduct, that traditional leadership still mattered. Abdurrahman, the takeaway from Addo Bairo's life is this. He did not survive modernity by retreating from it. He moved through banking, legislature, diplomacy, and police administration before he ever wore the emir's turban. That breadth was his armor. The Kano Emirate, shaped by the Sokoto Caliphate's legacy and tested by British colonial rule, needed a leader who could speak every language of power, traditional, bureaucratic, and diplomatic. Addo Bairo spoke all of them. His life is studied today as a blueprint precisely because he demonstrated that ancient institutions do not have to choose between authenticity and relevance. They can hold both. That synthesis of royal lineage and modern administrative duty is what makes the Bairo story a defining chapter in Kano's long and layered history.